Good morning, everybody. So thank you for having me part of this amazing panel. I did a lot of work in California, so it was really nice to see that. But now we're shifting gears, doing more Massachusetts work, actually, and some national work. I'm Amory Benitez, the Director of Government Relations and Public Affairs for National Latina Institute for Reproductive Health, which is the only national reproductive justice organization dedicated to advancing health, dignity, and justice for the 26 million Latinas, their families, and communities in the U.S. So what we plan to share during our presentation is our work with the University of Massachusetts Amherst on shifting policies from a prevention-only framework to a reproductive justice frame that includes comprehensive sexual and reproductive health care for all Latina teens. And with me today, we also have Karina, and she's going to go into more of the work that we're doing in New York with our young moms and the digital storytelling work. So National Latina Institute believes that Latina pregnant and parenting youth need recognition, resources, and respect to achieve the goals they have set out for themselves and families. Much of our work and priorities have been shaped by the mothers themselves, and I actually appreciate the distinction that you made of accepting and when you become a young mom and how you become basically ostracized. So a lot of our work is addressing the ostracized elements so that all Latinas can be successful in their families and be healthy. So my remarks today is going to specifically focus on the federal policies that's come out of that work and to try to do a lot of that frame shifting that I'm talking about. So a lot of our work is we actually work at the federal level to really create an agenda that's more comprehensive in nature and more holistic when approaching young moms and young mom work. And these are the buckets in which we've done a lot of our work, and I'm going to go into each of these buckets, starting with pregnant and parenting youth, immigration, and health care. Pregnant and parenting immigrant youth face several barriers to quality, affordable health care, including lack of insurance coverage. Unfortunately, many pregnant and parenting youth, including those who are undocumented, will experience lack of health insurance. More than 1.5 million undocumented immigrant men and women are between the ages of 19 to 24, so that's the target population. In California alone, almost 52% of immigrants who qualify are qualify for DACA, which is the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals recipients, are female. Current federal policies that impact undocumented youth that include DACA are completely carved out of the ACA. They also face barriers and when it comes to accessing Medicaid and are also carved out when it comes to CHIP. It is especially vital that pregnant and parenting youth mothers who are undocumented or who are DACA recipients have access to health care because they take responsibility in ensuring that family members receive health care when they need it. Additionally, young mothers' access to care plays a factor into whether the child will have health insurance. Studies show that child's insurance rates is largely correlated with his or her parent status. And more importantly, children with citizenship status whose parents are without citizens are less likely to be uninsured. So the federal policy that NRLIRH supports and several other organizations that we work with on this issue, the one bill is the HEAL Immigrant Women and Families Act, which is H.R. 4240. I think I left that document there. Which addresses in eliminating the barriers for DACA recipients and also those who would, and lifts up the five-year bar for those who could access Medicaid. So that's regards to health insurance and immigration. The next bucket that I want to go into is pregnant and parenting youth and housing. I can go for these for a very long time, but I'm going to do very short snippets on each of these topics. For many pregnant and parenting youth, access to safe and affordable housing is a necessity. Some pregnant and parenting youth are forced to leave their homes because their parents disapprove of the pregnancy, are unable to provide financial support, are abusive towards their children, or for other reasons. And unfortunately, policies regarding temporary assistance for needy families, TANF, may place young parents in unsafe circumstances because this is something we try to fix in California, and it's still something we're working on. To qualify and to be eligible for TANF, parenting youth must often live with their parents, a legal guardian, an adult relative, or an adult supervised supportive living arrangement. Unfortunately, many young parents will not qualify and be eligible for this support because living with their parents, relatives, or legal guardian, if they can find one, puts them at risk for abuse and harm. Another population that may experience unintended pregnancy is homeless youth. This is for multiple factors. Homeless youth, this includes many factors, including when it comes to homeless youth, they may engage in survival sex in exchange for food, shelter, clothing, and for emotional and physical needs. This is particularly true for LGBTQ youth, who are more likely to report that they are being asked for sex in exchange for meeting their physical needs in comparison to heterosexual peers. In 2005, a national study found that homeless young women between the ages of 13 to 15 experienced pregnancy at 14 times the rate of non-homeless young women. Moreover, young women of color who face homelessness may disproportionately experience unintended pregnancy. 22% of families in homeless shelters are Latinas, 39% Black, and Native American Pacific Islanders are overrepresented in these shelters as well. And housing options need to fit all of the needs for either pregnancy and or parenting youth. One of the bills that specifically addresses this is the Higher Education Access and Success for Homeless and Foster Youth Act. The next huge bucket is pregnant and parenting youth and child care. This is very, obviously, child care is a huge issue if you're a young parent or not. Cost is a real issue and barrier when it comes to this. But when specifically talking about young moms, one form of child care that has helped parenting youth in high school is school-based daycare programs. Studies show that parenting youth experience positive outcomes from these programs, including increase in graduation rates, counseling and support from daycare staff, emotional support from peers and adults. Additionally, these programs have positive outcomes for children of young parents, such as physical, social, and emotional and cognitive development. I can go on, but there's a specific bill that helps. Actually, there's both a bill, which is the Strong Start for America's Children's Act, which is a lot of the Head Start program, but also we support increasing funding for block grant programs that provide financial assistance for child care. There's two other buckets, but I want to give time for the digital story. The other is pregnant and parenting youth and workplace opportunity. A lot of young moms are in low-wage jobs where they face higher levels of discrimination, so if they ask just to sit while they're pregnant, then they lose their job. So that is why we also support the Pregnant Fairness Workers Fairness Act. And then finally, pregnant and parenting youth and educational opportunity. Many young moms drop out because of being ostracized or they don't have the support or needs that they need to finish and graduate high school. But they should be protected under Title IX, which unfortunately is not being implemented the way it should be implemented in all schools. So not only do we support reinforcing Title IX, but also the Pregnant and Parenting Students Access to Education Act, because it also ensures that they have access to family planning care services. With that, I'm going to transfer it over to Digital Stories.
All right. Hi, everybody. My name is Karina. I'm the education manager at the National Latina Institute for Reproductive Health. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the training that we gave to the young moms before we did the digital storytelling, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about the digital storytelling project. So the picture on the left is of the young moms after the training. They're holding up their certificates of completion for the LOLA training, which stands for Latinas Organizing for Leadership and Advocacy. And then they have this other sign that says, Yo te apoyo, I support you. On the right is one of the young moms. This is a picture that we got from her about a month or so after the training. If you can see, it's a picture of her mirror in her bedroom. She has her certificate on her mirror. And next to the mirror, it has messages that say, don't give up, and we love you. And that is really the essence of our LOLA training and the way that we relate to young people in general, and in particular, young moms. We know that, above all, young people need support and respect. And so we crafted this training to develop their skills as leaders and activists so that they could be part of a movement for health, dignity, and justice for young families and all families. So I'm going to show you another pic of Deshira. This one It was taken this past May. But first, I want to just give a quick reminder about why we take this approach as opposed to other approaches. Okay, so I don't know how many people saw this ad. Probably you didn't, but it's from New York City. So this is an ad that was part of a series of ads really humiliating young mothers. It was intended to reduce teen pregnancy, but it does so at the expense of these young moms. So here we have a mixed-race baby crying and saying, "I'm twice as likely to drop out of high school because you had me as a teen." So this is what our moms are looking at every morning on their way to school, on their way to work. This is what they have to look at in front of their friends and family. This is what they have to look at in front of their children. And this is what their children are saying. This next one is from the Candies Foundation. It says, "You're supposed to be changing the world, not changing diapers." We don't believe that women with children can't make changes in this world. And it's not a message that we want our young women to internalize. The last thing our communities need when they're struggling to make ends meet, going to school, taking care of their children, are Subway ads that humiliate them in front of their children. So our perspective is to build a community of respect and support for all our women. We see the leadership potential of our young moms and we support it. We harness it. We know that the problems that they're facing, lack of affordable health care, lack of access to comprehensive sex education, access to contraception, poverty and job discrimination, those problems existed before they ever decided to have a child. And so rather than shame or judge them for their decisions, we organize them to join us and to continue to fight for the resources, the rights, and the respect that our communities deserve. Those are the young moms after a congressional briefing in Washington, D.C., where they advocated for the Young Parents Dignity Agenda. In the middle is Deshaira, again, who is now an organizer and leader of young moms. This slide is a social media campaign against the stigmatization of young parents. And this last photo is a photo campaign that we did that says, "We can change diapers and the world." Thank you. Okay. I didn't get to show the video, maybe in the questions.
The link, do you have a link on your slides? You can post it on the APHA website, and they can have access to it.
All right.
That was wonderful. Thank you. And stay up here. I'm going to ask the speakers to quickly come up. We have just a few minutes for questions. So I would like to open it up to the floor for questions. We have about 5 minutes, so not nearly long enough. I did my best to keep everyone. Any questions?
Learned in terms of the program and some great preliminary outcomes that we can expand on.
Well, so there was a video that we wanted to show, but it explains sort of where we're kind of going with this. So the digital story is essentially they're sharing their story, right? It's a very simple process. They have a few pictures. They share a few quotes. Some of the things that they heard repeated to them, some of the really negative, sad, horrible things that you just wouldn't even imagine people have to listen to every day. But they confront that beast, right? And then they're saying, like, they're fighting and they're taking care of their kids and they're doing the best that they can. And our aspirations or our hopes are to organize them so that we can keep sort of fighting for those bigger things. Because, as we said, you know, these problems existed before they ever decided to have a child. They were in poverty before they ever decided to be a teen mom. And so those are the real problems. We can't treat them as the problem, right? And so our message is to empower those women and to say we support you and we respect your decisions and let's build a movement so that women can actually really make those decisions. Not that they just happen to them, right? But that they decide, this is what I want to do with my life. And if that's what you decide, society's going to respect your decisions and we're going to respect your decisions and we support you. And so we're sort of sharing these stories in social media. We're hitting back at the sort of negative ways to relate to teenagers, and we're saying we have to build a broader movement for health, dignity, and justice for all families.
Great.
Please
post that video.
Yeah, we want to see
that
video.
Absolutely.
I mean, how long is the video?
It's 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
If you're all willing to wait, then it's out. Anyone have any questions for the rest of the panel? I wanted to ask a quick question for Angelica. So you talked a bit about the integrative primary care idea, but I didn't get a good sense of what that meant exactly in terms of what primary care, like are you addressing mental health, for instance, or other basic care?
When I'm talking about integrated primary care, Golden Valley and Livingston Community Health Center, we are primary care services. So in our organizations, not only do we have those medical services with the providers, but we also have behavioral health. We have the health educators who talk about, you know, family planning. So it's really, you know, some of the teens come in and they are part of the program, but once we're kind of having these conversations, then they might be interested in, you know, getting birth control, or, you know, we find out that they might be in a situation where they might need behavioral health or another service. So we create those kind of smooth transitions from TPP or Chief Prevention Health Educator so that they can then access some of our other services and sometimes even some of the primary care, you know, that we offer there at the clinic. So it's just creating those systems so that we're kind of all working together and making sure that you're taking care of the team, all of the necessities and the services that, you know.
Excellent. Okay, let me see if I can figure out how to, while I'm doing this, does anyone have any other questions?
Just click on it?
Yep.
Mom's gonna raise her life. She's a bad influence. Too young to be responsible. I heard two teachers talking in the hall at school. They said my name before I turned the corner. They don't even know me. I was in 10th grade, 15 and pregnant. I also heard them say that a lot of girls from my community get pregnant young. They were saying that my mom was not a good parent because of what I did. And I felt guilty. It wasn't her fault. How could they blame her and talk bad about her because of my mistake? I was hurt. How could anybody talk about my mom like that without even knowing her? My mom is always there for me. She's strict though. She cares about who I hang out with and what I do. She raised me to go to church. I was taught to be respectful and listen to my parents. But I didn't listen. I wanted to be like my friends and do a lot of things my parents didn't let me do. I started skipping school. The day I found out I was pregnant, so did my mom. Our relationship changed. She didn't trust me anymore. I felt different and stopped telling her everything. School even changed, and the comments and judging got worse, so I dropped out. A few months passed, and my mom encouraged me to go back to school and get my GED. Feeling like I would get her trust back, I did. Actually, I'm almost done. A lot of things haven't been easy though, and it really hurt to be judged. But I don't care anymore. I know the things they said about my mom and me just aren't true.
Two moms who participated in this program did their own videos, and then this is actually what's really nice about it. It's not just happening in Massachusetts. There's also a group of young women in Colorado who are producing similar stories at the Florence Crittenden School, and they just, so if you want to kind of look at this stuff later, if you YouTube Florence Crittenden School teen moms, it should come up, and it's an incredible video because it shows sort of like back to back a few little snippets of all of the different stories and what these young moms are doing to advance social justice in general and teen pregnancy, sure, but in a way that's respectful, right?
That was great.